It's 91.1 KNOW, Minneapolis-St. Paul.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. In Japan, aftershocks of a major earthquake are shaking that country as a tsunami is engulfing Kamaishi City Port, called the Horn Area, on Japan's north coast. Boats and cars are being swept aside. The U.S. Geological Survey says the original quake was a magnitude 8.9. It struck off the northeast coast of Japan. All of Japan's nuclear reactors have been shut down, as have Japan's subways and bullet trains. Tsunami warnings of up to 18 feet were issued after the first quake. NHK is reporting building fires across Tokyo as large buildings there shook violently. In Honolulu, reporter Bill Dorman of Hawaii Public Radio reports the impact of the earthquake could radiate across the Pacific.
Hawaii is under a tsunami watch. The U.S. Geological Survey says, quote, an investigation is underway to determine if there is a tsunami threat to Hawaii. The statement goes on to say any tsunami wave reaching Hawaii would come ashore at about 3 a.m. local time. A little more than a year ago, a major earthquake off the coast of Chile sent Hawaii residents scrambling to prepare for a tsunami, but the islands avoided any massive waves. For NPR News, this is Bill Dorman in Honolulu.
6 minutes past 7 GMT. You're listening to The World Today from the BBC World Service with Fergus Nicol and Roger Hearing.
And we're going to try to bring you up to date with what's been going on in Japan over the last hour or more. A magnitude 8.9 earthquake hit off Japan, and it's had an extraordinary event in Japan, especially the northeast of the country. Duncan Bartlett is with us, former correspondent in Tokyo, and like us, you've been watching these jaw-dropping pictures, frankly, coming from the national broadcaster NHK, which is astonishingly giving us live images from a helicopter, evidently. Just take us through what happened. First of all, a big quake offshore.
Yes, a big quake offshore, and the impact seems to have been felt right across Japan's central island, Honshu, right through from Tokyo all the way up to the next island, Hokkaido, which is in the north of Japan. It seems to me, looking at these pictures, as though it's the northeastern region of Japan, particularly around the city of Sendai, where the impact has been most devastating. What we've seen now is a great deal of flooding, what looks to me as though a tsunami has come on shore, and we can see trucks and cars being picked up by the tsunami wave, buildings being destroyed, large areas of farmland being washed away. It looks as though this is a very devastating quake, and it's not just in Sendai that it's being felt. Also, people in Tokyo are saying this is the most severe quake that they can remember in the last few years. Many people have been injured where a school roof has collapsed.
Let's see if we can just join our colleagues at NHK. They are transmitting live in English.
The Ministry's Nuclear and Industrial Safety Agency says it will have a news conference every hour to bring the latest information about the damage caused by the earthquake, obviously to power plants around the country. Five have been shut down. Japan's meteorological agency has revised the magnitude of the quake to 8.4 from 7.9. It's the largest earthquake since the Great Hanshin earthquake back in 1995. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center has issued a tsunami warning for Japan, Russia, Marcus Island, the Northern Marianas, Guam, Wake Island, and Taiwan. Once again,
that's NHK there, the Japanese TV station broadcasting live, and we're still getting live pictures, as Fergus was saying, of a wave apparently going across farmland and, in fact, now past a car park and around some industrial buildings in the area of Miyagi. We're also, as you heard there in NHK, getting an impression of how widespread this is. Warnings being given in Taiwan, right across the whole Pacific region. If you can get the geography in your mind, it's the northeast part of Japan is where this happened, but that the shock waves that spread the tsunami, as of course was seen in the Indian Ocean disaster some years ago, can go right across the area. But they have the luck, of course, Duncan, as we know from this, Duncan here with us in the studio, there is in fact a very effective tsunami warning system in the Pacific area now, isn't there?
Absolutely, and the Japanese are as prepared as any country in the world, really, for earthquakes. There's been a lot of seismic activity within the past week or so, and I understand that schools and so on have been practicing their earthquake drills more rigorously recently as a result of that. Every child in Japan practices what would happen if there is an earthquake or if there is a tsunami, and for a very long time Japan has been aware of the danger, and so buildings have to meet very strict standards to make sure that they can withstand the impact of a shock. On the other hand, an earthquake of this size, including a major tsunami, is just not going to be something that the Japanese are going to be able to prepare for, simply because of the scale of the power of the quake itself.
And just to stress, Duncan, not just the efficiency of the network, but the scale, as you said, we're now getting official warnings for Guam, the Philippines, Marshall Islands, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, Nauru, Micronesia, and Hawaii. So the US authorities are monitoring, aware that this is potentially coming quite close to home, to that offshore state, so to speak. So there are these two problems. There's a tsunami coming ashore. We've seen some very dramatic physical evidence of that already. Just to expand a little bit more on that disaster preparedness in the big cities, because there have been these fires reported, so you can't meet every eventuality, clearly.
No, I mean, what we do know is that the emergency services and the military responded very quickly as soon as they realised the scale of the earthquake, and the defence ministries employed a number of planes to check damage around the Tokyo area. But, I mean, we know that even the Japanese parliament, which was in session when the earthquake struck, was affected by this. The prime minister was shaking in his seat in the parliament. So there's been an immediate response from the politicians and from the emergency authorities. However, having said that, the reason, of course, we're talking here in the studio in London is because it's extremely difficult now to reach people in Japan. All the numbers that I've tried to reach, both in Tokyo and other parts of Japan, have been down, and I can't get anybody on a cell phone at this stage.
Is it just to say, Roger, on Twitter, it was very interesting, there were some very, very immediate tweets, very shocked, evidenced by some fairly frank language as the aftershocks hit, and then it all stopped. So obviously there was some internet connection that then fell away.
And just to say now, we are getting live pictures of a very large wave coming across an area of sea. It's hard to tell exactly where it is. The shot is widening now. It seems to be a coastal area.
I believe this is the Sendai region of Japan, again up in the north.
It's a live shot from a helicopter from NHK. The wave moving now towards the coast itself. We're also now hearing that military planes and ships are being sent to the area, and also that this earthquake was felt in China, apparently, as well. So it was obviously a very big and very powerful one.
And we go back to Japan. There's a lot of extremely powerful imagery coming on the national broadcaster NHK. Another huge wave swamping the coastline at a place called Miyagi. A lot of activity on the BBC's website. Tom David in Tokyo talked about an increasing intensity of the initial earthquake. We were forced to leave the building. Pylons and trees swaying wildly. The ground didn't stop moving for at least 5 minutes, and several fairly powerful aftershocks have followed. Let's get a little bit of scientific expertise behind what's going on. Steve Tatham, who's a seismologist at Geoscience Australia. Steve, thanks so much for being on The World Today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
How are you reading this?
Well, we watched the waveforms come in, and it was obvious that it was one of the biggest earthquakes that, that I personally have worked with. We eventually, at three attempts, got a magnitude of 8.5, and it looks like it could be even slightly above that. But it didn't take very long before we noticed the tide gauges were upset on the east coast of Honshu, and that a tsunami had been generated.
Just got a tweet from China, from Beijing. Just felt a quake. Is it the one from Japan? Good Lord, how bad must it be? Just tell us a little bit more about what your readings are showing.
Well, it's not surprising you got that tweet. The readings would confirm that this would have had a felt radius of measured in thousands of kilometres with a magnitude of between 8.8 and 8.5. And from an area which, you know, has significant earthquake activity, but this is the largest from that particular area in 10 years.
How widely should people fear a tsunami? There seems to have been a very rapid cause and effect on the Japanese coastline, but where else should people be thinking about moving away from the seashore?
It's not really in our area, but our Bureau of Meteorology models suggest that obviously the nearby coastline, east coastline of Japan, is very much under threat. The energy from the tsunami is radiated out into the Pacific as well. In terms of Australia, there are no threat levels for our coastline, but certainly islands within several thousand kilometres are probably, as we speak, already being placed on alert by the Pacific Tsunami Warning Centre.
Steve, thank you. Steve Tatham of Geoscience Australia.
And we can now, for the first time, go live to Tokyo, and Yukiko, resident there, on the line. Yukiko, just describe to us what happened.
Hello. This was the largest quake I've felt in my life, and in Japan, I've always lived in Tokyo. So what happened was there were a few moderate quakes in northern Japan the past few days. And then, you know, when there is a quake in northern Japan, in Tokyo we felt it as well, although it's very small.
What were you doing when the quake hit?
I was sitting in the sitting room, you know. It was my day off, so I was in my sitting room. And then the moderate quake started, so I just thought, okay, there you go again. And then it started shaking really violently, and, you know, I could hardly stand. So I jumped out of the buildings, and all the neighbors, you know, jumped out of the door, and it was very, very scary. And there were aftershocks every few minutes afterwards, and it seems there's at least one fire in Tokyo, although we don't know if it's related to the quake. But what TV is showing right now is really horrible. You know, the tsunami, you know, pushing through the shores and fields and houses. It's like Indonesian the tsunami.
You're watching the pictures, I bet, like we are, of the TV coverage of this. But as you look from where you are in Tokyo, can you see fires on the cityscape or not?
Not from my window, but there's black smoke coming out from one of the taller buildings in the Odaiba area, in the waterfront of Tokyo. But we don't really know if it's related to the quake yet. It was right after the quake, so it may be.
And you're obviously still in your house at the moment, in your flat. Is it a good place to be? Do you tend to stay indoors when this has happened?
I don't really know, but the aftershocks are becoming smaller and smaller, but who knows when the next big one's coming. At the moment, you know, I'm safe here, so I may go out later tonight if there are more spikes.
See what happens, yes, but at the moment you're staying inside your house.
Yes, but lifts are stopped, and I'm sure train services are all stopped.
Okay. Yukiko, thank you very much for talking to us. I'm most grateful to you. That was Yukiko there, resident of Tokyo, describing what happened when this earthquake hit. Just to bring people up to information now, we're getting pictures, live pictures from NHK of what appears to be an airport completely flooded. Also pictures of what may well be a power station of some kind with fires burning. Just to anybody who's joining us, we're reporting on an earthquake that came into Japan within the past hour. A fairly big magnitude earthquake, 8.9 is what we're being told now, and there have been tsunami warnings issued right across the Pacific, and we have seen live pictures of tsunamis hitting part of northeastern Japan. We'll keep you posted on that as we get more information.
And just to stress how widely this is being felt, Elwin Koopman's on the BBC website in Beijing. Instant dizziness sitting in my chair. I almost fell over as I was walked through my apartment. The shaking lasted for 15-20 seconds. Long, powerful movements, not aggressive short vibrations. A historic heavy earthquake. More to come on the BBC.
And let's go back for a live update on the situation in Japan. On the line now, Tomohiko Taniguchi, former Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesman. Mr. Taniguchi, thank you for joining us. What picture do you get of the situation? I know that information coming through very quickly now about the earthquake and its consequences. Can you give us a kind of picture of what you know?
I am in my study in my house, and I've been surrounded by books and documents fallen from the bookshelves. But that is basically it. No substantial damage has been done to my house and in my neighborhood. But the big one hit the northeastern shore of the Honshu mainland of Japanese archipelago, because the epicenter seems to be somewhere in the sea off the northeast corner, or northeastern part of Japan.
I'm sure, and like us, you're seeing some of these pictures that are coming through of a wave, and indeed it seems to be fire almost floating on the wave coming through into the city. You're seeing this?
Yes, I am.
You're in Tokyo at the moment, is that right?
Yes, I am.
So, obviously, the shock in the city, in the capital itself, was quite varied. Where you are, doesn't sound like there was a great deal of damage. Is that right?
No, substantial damage to the structure of the house. Only the some of the dishes, plates, and books fell from the shelves. But that's basically it. Traffic seems to be working properly. Electricity is running without interruption, and that's basically it.
We're getting reports of an oil refinery at Lichihara, which is quite near Tokyo, on fire. In fact, we're seeing live pictures of that now. That's quite a significant refinery area, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the nation is in high alert, without any question, about the coming tsunamis that are expected to hit the wide areas of the Honshu mainland.
We have already been getting some information. Some say that a tsunami as high as 10 meters sweeping in on part of that area as yet. We haven't got that confirmed, though we are seeing pictures of water coming in across a great landscape. How well prepared is Japan for something on this scale?
Well, something has been coming of late, because we have been having a couple of major quakes, and this happens after the big one hit New Zealand, and New Zealand, Japan, albeit very much far from one another, is on the same chain of volcanoes, and I think to some degree the one that hit Japan is related to the major moves that are hitting elsewhere.
Mr. Taniguchi, thank you very much for joining us. Tomohiko Taniguchi there. And I think we can now hear a little bit of what NHK, the national broadcaster, is saying in Japan. Clearly, this is a speech in Japanese from a government official at the moment, from the Meteorological Agency, it looks like.
Listening to the chief of the Earthquake Monitoring Department, Hirofumi Yokoyama, telling reporters in the press conference that the earthquake this time was extremely big, so the tsunami will last for a long time, and to please keep evacuating from the coastline in the case of a tsunami warning, and to stay away from the coastline. And look at that, what we see. Look at the Miyagi Prefecture at this time, a tsunami engulfing.
What he's looking at and what he's describing is that refinery fire, that droning noise, of course, the helicopter sound as the camera hovers over that part of the country. We've got to go to news in a minute or so here on the BBC. We'll bring you up to date with what's going on in Japan as soon as we come back.
Oh, 7:32 GMT. You're listening to The World Today from the BBC World Service.
Let's get the latest on the earthquake off Japan and the resulting tsunami, over which warnings have spread right through the Pacific region. Dr. Robert Cesaro is with the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center in Hawaii. Welcome to The World Today. How do you read this?
I hear you fine.
Is it one of the worst you've seen for a while? What's the measurement?
There's quite a few different measurements. First of all, we start out with the magnitude of the earthquake itself. And for something this size, it takes some time for enough stations to report in for us to make a good measurement. The depth, as I understand it, of the earthquake is about 10 kilometers. In other words, it's a very shallow event. So right away, and also it's in the water, so right away we know that it's going to produce a tsunami. In other words, if the earthquake was on dry land or deep, no tsunami would be created. But this one, it's pretty big, and on the deep ocean water level sensors, it's recording 1.5 meters, which is very large. And my understanding, I just got in here just a few minutes before this phone call, And I understand that it will arrive here in Hawaii at about 3 a.m. That would be at our Kauai gauge. And
just clarify one thing. Sorry to interrupt. If it's measuring 1.5 meters at the that deep water point, does it acquire size with distance?
Pardon me?
Does it acquire size as it travels across the ocean?
It's not so much that it acquires size as it goes across the ocean. In other words, if you're on a ship, you wouldn't really feel much because the wavelength is so long and it takes 20, 30 minutes for the wave to pass, so you wouldn't really notice. Also, if you're on, let's say, an atoll in the Pacific, the atoll would be so tiny, it's like a pencil in the water, and the wave just doesn't notice. But if you're on an island that has a lot of run-up, a lot of sediment that go out quite a ways, then it can actually affect the wave. And so what happens is the front of the wave is going, let's say, 500 miles an hour. Meanwhile, the back of the wave still is proceeding at 500 miles an hour, but the front of the wave is slowing down as it shoals into shallower and shallower water.
I've just got your website in front of me, Dr. Cicero, at weather.gov/PTWC, talking about this widespread warning. Obviously, the highest severity is Japan itself, but you're looking much wider, further afield, even down to South America.
Yes, of course. One thing to think about is, of course, we live on a planet which is basically a sphere, and so as the energy proceeds across the ocean, it spreads out. But at a certain point, those rays begin to converge again, and so you can have waves as large, let's say, in South America someplace, as they would be in Japan, because those waves are beginning to join together.
Does
that make sense?
It does indeed, and we appreciate the clarification. We've got these warnings, of course, now in several different territories, most immediately the northeast, near east coast of Honshu. Is it the advisory that everybody should get out if they can?
Well, we have issued a Pacific-wide warning for something this large, and our modeling effort is very new. This is very recent technology that's still being developed, and so the estimates are somewhat crude at this point, but what it works is that we issue the warning, and then the local different agencies, in some places it's a police department, in other places it might be an emergency management function, but in any case, someone at the near the shore will make a decision about whether to evacuate or not, and we can provide some guidance along those lines. It's pretty much up to the local officials.
Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Robert Cicero from the Tsunami Warning Center.
Let's cross to NHK now, where the Prime Minister, Naoto Kan, is speaking.
As the head of the Disaster Relief Headquarters. Disaster.
Prime Minister Naoto Kan there saying that he will do everything possible.
I think we just came to the end of a very brief statement there from Naoto Kan saying that he would do everything possible to deal with the current situation. Let's go now live to Tokyo and Yukiko, a resident there, who we spoke to a little bit earlier. Yukiko, first of all, just tell us again what happened when the earthquake struck. What were you doing?
Oh, I was sitting in the sitting room, and first I felt a moderate quake, and so I thought it was, you know, just the sort of usual moderate quakes we have from time to time. And then it started shaking really violently, and in Japan, I've always lived in Tokyo, but I've never felt such big, you know, quake in my life. And living the fourth floor of my building, so that may be one of the reasons.
And do you just stay where you are, or do you try and run outside? What do you do?
Well, I did run outside, and lots of neighbors did the same, and, you know, we talked to each other and consoled each other, and then I decided to come back, and then I'm watching TV now, and TV showing horrible images of tsunami.
And, yeah, well, you're seeing the same images, I'm sure, that we're saying. It's interesting, clearly, the telecommunications have managed to stay. You've got TV, you've got power.
Yes, in Tokyo, electricity is fine, telephone's fine, internet is fine, but train services are mostly stopped, and lifts in the buildings are stopped.
But no damage around your area where you live?
As far as I can see from my window, there's no damage. But a few minutes ago, I saw on TV and text and news flash that there are several fires in Tokyo as well.
You haven't seen any evidence of that?
No,
you can't,
no,
from where you are, you can't see that?
No, not from where I live.
So, for the moment, are you concerned about further shocks? Are you staying inside? What are you going to do?
Yeah, you know, there's been many aftershocks, you know, every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes, and it's kind of scary because some of them are very small. But sometimes we still get, you know, moderately strong aftershocks, and, you know, who knows?
But for the moment, you're just going to stay there in your apartment, are you?
Yeah.
All right.
I may go out later.
We'll probably speak to you later then. Yukiko, thank you very much for joining us. Yukiko, they're live on the line from Tokyo.
Taking it very, very smoothly. Let's go to Taiwan now, one of the territories which has a tsunami warning in effect, though, as I understand it, there has been no sign of any tidal activity of significance just yet. Cindy Hsu is with us. Cindy, what exactly has been going on? Because I'm sure you, like many other people, tweeting and putting messages out online, have been watching these extraordinary pictures.
Yes, all the pictures from Japan are being shown on all the major channels in Taiwan, and there's been a tsunami warning issued in Taiwan, as you listeners have just heard. And the tsunami is expected to reach coastal areas of Taiwan in less than 2 hours.
Cindy, I'm going to stop you right there. Do apologize. Come back to us in just a second. We're going to Tokyo.
We got Roland Burke on the line, our correspondent live from Tokyo. Now, Roland, we're getting pictures now of houses burning in an area. We're not quite sure where it is, clearly devastated by the tsunami, and I understand the Prime Minister's now spoken. What's the latest?
Well, certainly here in Tokyo, it was a very big quake. I was walking on the street, and it was like walking along the deck of a ship at sea. The ground was rolling. And I'm sitting in an office, and everything that was on shelves in this office is now on the floor. Thousands of people are out of their office buildings, and they're down in the streets, gathered around train stations. All the public transport has been closed off here in Tokyo as well. And many people are watching on the television screens. They can see the pictures of water coming into some towns, and a tsunami warning is in place.
And we now know, we're being told that at least one person is dead. I guess there are a lot of injuries, and perhaps the number of injured and dead will rise. Given what we've seen, I think one has to expect that.
One would have thought so. Certainly we've seen pictures of people being brought out of a train station. In terms of the damage around here, it's actually remarkably little. And this city is built with earthquakes in mind. Japan is the most seismically active place in the world. So looking around, there isn't any damage, but there are a lot of people who are looking extremely shocked and standing around and wondering quite what to do. It's now coming towards the end of the business day here, when people would be thinking about going home, but people are standing in the streets.
And we understand that a lot of military involvement now, planes and boats being sent to the affected area. Is Japan, this is a very big earthquake by Japanese standards, do you think it is up to coping with this?
Well, certainly after the Kobe earthquake in the 1990s, the official response was found to be pretty wanting. I can tell you from my personal experience, though, that within seconds of this earthquake starting, there were tannoy announcements in the streets, and various security guards from buildings were rushing to secure elevators, and it was all pretty orderly here in Tokyo. But this isn't the epicenter, so it might be very different in places that have been worse hit.
Now, Roland, of course, you yourself were in Sri Lanka, I know, during the Indian Ocean tsunami some years ago. You must feel perhaps slightly that you are perhaps a person who seems to be in places where these kind of things happen. But obviously it was a lot more dramatic then, and a much more devastating tsunami that you were dealing with. At the moment, we're seeing signs clearly there has been a big tsunami. Any idea of comparisons?
Well, it's difficult to say. In the South Asian tsunami, I was on the beach, so in a rather different position. But certainly, when you look at the pictures on TV of a tsunami coming in, and even if you can see the cars and the boats being moved by the water, it's difficult to grasp quite how powerful a wave is. It's nothing like the surf you might find on a beach when you're swimming normally. The water comes in with immense force and lots of pressure and at a great speed. So it is, if people are caught up in the tsunami, it's a very devastating thing. And in fact, I can just feel the building shaking a bit now as in some sort of aftershock, and the lamps are moving in this building 2 and the lights as well, but it's a pretty gentle one at the moment. But another small tremor here in Tokyo going on.
All right, Roland, thank you very much. Roland Burke there, live on the line from Tokyo. And we can go straight back over to NHK, where Naoto Kan, the Japanese Prime Minister, is speaking now about the earthquake which happened in the last couple of hours.
Radioactive material, radiation, has been confirmed to have been leaked to the outside. There has been no information on of those lines so far. And given this situation, an emergency disaster response headquarters has been set up with myself as the head. We will secure the safety of the people of Japan, and in order to minimize the damage, the government will make every effort possible. And we ask the people of Japan to continue to be cautious and vigilant and keep tuned in to the reports on the television and radio. And we ask the people of Japan to act calmly.
That was Naoto Kan, the Japanese Prime Minister, speaking live there on NHK, the Japanese broadcaster, speaking to the nation in the aftermath of the earthquake, which happened about 2 hours ago now. Let me update you on what we know about that. Television pictures showed Sendai City, which is in the northeast of the islands of Japan, showing a huge wave sweeping far inland, washing away many cars, buildings, swamping large areas of farmland. The US Geological Survey now says the quake had a magnitude of 8.9, making it the biggest to hit Japan for many years. The tsunami warning for waves up to 10 meters high now covers Japan, the Philippines, Hawaii, the Pacific coast of Russia, Indonesia, and Taiwan. Aerial TV footage has shown more huge waves on their way to Japan, and people in coastal areas are being warned to head for higher ground immediately. We'll keep you posted on updates to this, just to let you know, at the moment what we're seeing, we're not seeing more live pictures of waves as we see them. We're also getting suggestions that within the next few hours we will know whether or not there will be tsunamis hitting places like Taiwan, and of course much later further across the Pacific. We'll keep you posted on all that, bringing you the latest and hopefully getting some live interviews with people in Japan and also in other places likely to be affected by this. We'll keep you updated on all that coming up here on The World Today.